John, we turn now to the Democratic Republic of Congo, where rebel fighters today say they have taken control of a town in a crucial strategic area as fighting continues between government troops and the rebels loyal to the renegade General Laurent Nkunda. Tens of thousands of people have been fleeing the violence. Some are accusing the UN and its troops on the ground there of not doing enough. The Congolese government accuses Rwanda of backing the rebels, which the Rwandans deny. Joining us now is BBC World Affairs correspondent Mark Doyle. Thanks for being with us, Mark.
Hi, morning.
What's the latest of what's happening today?
Well, the latest situation is a continuation of what's been going on for several days now. The rebels of Laurent Nkunda, who you mentioned, appear to be trying to take the regional capital of eastern Congo, which is a place called Goma. They appear to be doing this for two essential reasons, really. I think they've perceived a weakness in the government forces, and they've also perceived a weakness in the United Nations forces who fight with the government, because the government is an elected government and therefore the UN recognizes it, and the UN peacekeepers have a sort of role of helping the government forces. They're not just peacekeepers in between the two. And the background to this is two things, really. One is the tension, ethnic tension, between ethnic Tutsis on both the Congolese and Rwandan sides of the border, and ethnic Hutus on both sides also. So there's a sort of proxy war going on between Rwanda and Congo. But it's not just about ethnicity, it's also about illegal mining of minerals. In this area you find a compound called coltan, which is used in all of our mobile phones, actually, a tiny amount of it, so we all carry around a bit of Congo in our pocket. And that's very valuable, and all of the fighting forces have been illegally mining this stuff.
And it's a conflict commodity, right? I mean, it's a kind of thing that contributes to the wealth of a region like the Congo, but also contributes to its instability, coltan.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a bit like some of your listeners may have heard of blood diamonds, because there's been a bit of a campaign to try and stop diamonds fueling wars in Africa and elsewhere, because it's so easy to pocket them, and they're such a concentrated form of wealth. Now, coltan is a very, very similar thing. It looks, if you see it, it looks like sort of just mud, really. But when it's been refined down, it's extremely valuable. And a lot of the wars in eastern Congo are either over coltan or diamonds or other important minerals in the area.
Let's talk about what the tipping point has been here. You're saying that this is the third day of fighting, and there are 17,000 UN troops that are on the ground there. What triggered the beginning of this?
Well, it's difficult to know. I've been talking to some Congolese experts about this, and they speculate there's a couple of things. First of all, that the government in Kinshasa, that's the capital of Congo, which is a very long way away from where this fighting is taking place. It's such a huge country. But anyway, the government in Kinshasa is perceived to be relatively weak at the moment. They've just replaced the prime minister. And maybe these rebels saw an opportunity to exploit that weakness and try and take some extra land. The other possibility is that the rebels thought that the world might be busy with all of its financial crises and the election that you've got over there on that side of the pond, they thought that the world would not notice.
And how many people, do you have any sense, have been displaced since the fighting began? How many people, how many casualties?
Yes, certainly in the last few days, approximately 30,000 people have been displaced. But in the last few months, about 200,000 people have been displaced. And if you take the province of North Kivu, which is this area where the fighting is taking place, it's a huge area. It's about the size of Belgium. Well, I don't know if that sounds very big to the United States audience, but it's a big, big area by any standards. The number of people displaced there is estimated to be about 1 million people in the last few years have been displaced. So if this was happening even in a medium-sized country, you'd think it was a huge thing, but this is just one corner of the problems that they have in Congo.
There's been some calls for more UN troops to head to the Congo. Do you think that's likely to happen, and have there been formal requests made by the Congolese government?
Well, it was interesting that last night in New York, actually, the head of the UN mission to Congo is a British diplomat called Alan Doss, did a video link with journalists at the United Nations headquarters in New York. He was speaking in Kinshasa, the Congolese capital. And he did a sort of different variation on the send more troops, please, which is what most UN commanders and generals do. He said, send any troops. I don't mind if they're UN troops. Any troops will do. We are really at the edge edge of what we can cope with. And following that, the French ambassador, interestingly, said that it was obvious that the UN force needed to be beefed up. And the French do have previous on this affair. They did send troops to another part of Congo, Ituri province, when that got completely out of hand, and they briefly sent some troops, not as United Nations troops, but sort of working alongside the United Nations. So if I had to bet money on it, I would bet that the French will be sending a few hundred soldiers, which could make the difference. The problem is that France has a deep and complicated colonial relationship with this part of Africa, and a number of countries, notably Rwanda, which is a small but very powerful country in this part of the world, would be most unhappy, I think, unless the French cleared it with them beforehand, that the French troops went there.
Mark Doyle, thanks very much for that update on the Congo.